wish for you above all things is that you prosper. And that includes prosperity in the economic sense. And this is what we will be covering in this Faith Booster. Financial prosperity. It is God's will for you. Well, if it is His will, there must be a purpose that goes along with it. Let's see what God says about this. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. God's purpose for your prosperity in the economic arena is to promote the gospel and take care of the poor. And He, Jesus, said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let me ask you a question. How shall they be sent unless they have the resources to go? There are some places on earth where the people God wants us to reach are 8 days walking distance away from the nearest civilization. Whereas if you were to fly an airplane there, it would only take an hour or two. Those people there need to hear about Jesus. And with an airplane, mission work can be executed far more efficiently. Airplanes cost money. Don't you think God is willing to provide missionaries with the resources to buy an airplane, pay for the fuel, and be able to pay for any maintenance work it may require to complete God's work? Of course. So, who will God bless with the money to send people? Is it a very select group of people? Yes. Only those who are willing to surrender all and obey. They will be the ones who walk in the true manifestation of God's prosperity. See what the word says. I mentioned being obedient was all that was necessary. Let's see why in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 to 14. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee 7 ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto Himself, as He hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. and all of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. God prospers those who favor his cause. Let them shout for joy, and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. I quite like how the NIV puts it. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness, but to the sinner he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. God prospers those who will give. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God has a test for whom he will entrust his resources to, because his word says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been fruitful in unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? When you do good with what God has already given you, he will entrust more to you. In Luke 19:17, he said to his servants in the parable, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. God said in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. When you study the book of Proverbs, you find there is a lot said about what makes you prosper, especially the seeking of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8. And I think it is of no coincidence that the very characteristics and behaviors described which make one prosper are the very same things which God loves and wants in terms of the character and behavior of his children. Prosperity is the direct byproduct benefit which happens to anyone behaving the way God wants his children to behave. I'm sure you'll agree that if God wants you to behave a certain way and the benefits of behaving that way result in prosperity, then rejecting the idea that God wants you to prosper is utterly ridiculous. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. If you look at anything God hates in Proverbs, it leads to poverty. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth destruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now after hearing that, let me tell you what God's wish or will is above all things for you. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 15 onward, poverty and sickness are under the curse of the law. According to the Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, he redeemed you from sickness and poverty. He became poor so you through his poverty might be rich, and he took stripes on his back that by those stripes you are healed. God wants you blessed, blessed so richly that you are in a position to bless others. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Look what God promised Abraham in Genesis 12:2. I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. God promised Abraham's blessing to you. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ, you were blessed with Abraham, and you have his blessing. Now you are called to be a blessing, being a distribution center, advancing God's kingdom on earth with the resources that he entrusts you with. You are God's steward. Later on, I will share with you a stewardship principle which you will adopt as your way of life henceforth. I'm going to show you how to be the effective type of steward which God cannot resist but to bless richly with his blessing which maketh rich. Now, there is also another reason God wants wealth in your hands, and it's very important. He wants you to enjoy it. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, This is the gift of God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So wealth and riches are a good and perfect gift. And guess what else Psalm 84:11 says in the Amplified Version? For the Lord God bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now that you know wealth and riches are good things, you now know if you walk uprightly before him, he won't withhold it from you. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. David the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He said in Psalms 112 verses 1 to 3, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Just don't forget who gave the wealth to you and the main reason why. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged that which thou diggest not, vineyards, olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. God is your father, and you are his child. You are royalty. You are an heir, and you are his representative in this earth. And God wants the best for you because you represent him to the world. Our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, that's the worldly, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be made magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Consider this. If you saw a poor child, skinny, old rags for clothes, living on the street, begging, and you found out his father was a billionaire, you would think, why doesn't his father take care of him, wouldn't you? Well, this is what the world thinks when they look at Christians and they want no part with God, because they think God wants them to be poor, sick, and miserable. And the reason is because we won't walk in the benefits of our covenant. We have thought that we have to wait until we get to heaven to live well. But Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's good news. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to live like you are in heaven. You can have days of heaven in earth. The psalmist wrote, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Jesus told us to pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is the will of God that every promise in the Bible is in full manifestation in your life. We know that because God said, forget not all his benefits. God wants your life in earth to be as it is in heaven. Well, think about what's in heaven. Sheer, lavish, conspicuous opulence, mansions, streets of gold like transparent glass, precious jewels, pearls everywhere, in abundance. Abundance of love, joy, immense levels of energy, perfect health, the list goes on. Well, if God's will is done in earth as it is in heaven, then what is earth supposed to look like? God wants to bring earth to heaven, and he will do this in completeness after we have been in heaven 1,000 years, and we can spread heaven on the whole earth. Meanwhile, we can get practice now, in this life. We can usher in the culture of heaven in the spiritual and material sense to every province within this earth. Jesus said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, when it actually comes to carrying out the work of God, I've noticed there seems to be a problem. Lack of money. Due to a lack of money, I've seen churches having to close their doors, hospitals and schools being shut down, evangelistic campaigns cancelled, equipment being sold to keep operating budgets thriving. All this means that the world is not being reached, and it is not the will of God that any perish. I look in scripture and I think, hold on a minute. God has more than enough. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And guess what? God is more than willing to give out his resources. And he said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Just look at the names of God and try to convince me that God has a problem with money. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. El Shaddai, the Lord who is sufficient for the needs of his people. Money to God is like air. It's everywhere, all the time. It's nothing to him. God can provide money as easy as he makes it rain. God promised to meet all your needs according to his riches, and all the money in the world is his. They are his riches. If he wants it for the work he gave you to do, then he will give it to you. He will meet your needs according to all the money in the world, if that is what you need to do the work he calls you to. When Jesus sent the disciples out on a mission, he told them not to take any money with them, and he asked them, lack ye anything? You know what they replied? Nothing. So what is the problem? If God has all the money in the world, why don't God's people have it? There is something very significant, which is a major issue. God doesn't have a lack of money. He has a lack of people who are willing to obey him. When you find willing people who trust God, you find people God can trust. God will trust them with his vast resources. We ask God with our arms wide open, bless me, bless me. But our hands towards him are short. We tip him rather than sacrifice. David said he wouldn't give to God that which cost him nothing. People are stingy and still expect God to take care of them because of Philippians 4:19. But look at what the people did in order for Paul to write Philippians 4:19. Read the preceding verses 15 to 18. Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed for Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, you've got to give first. We are called co-laborers with God. In other words, you and I are in a business partnership with God. We have an agreement with him, a covenant, a blood covenant. And in this agreement, his responsibility in our business together is to supply all the resources that we need for the business to be implemented effectively. I'm saying this because there are secrets to receiving from God for his purposes, but we need to play according to his rules. Here's one of the secrets. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You give first in faith, then you receive. Obedience always precedes blessings. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Nature gives us God's example. The sun gives life and warmth to earth. Because of the sun, the sea gives the sky clouds. The clouds rain, giving water to the land. The land has rivers which give back to the sea. So the sea, for example, gives and eventually receives again. But because it keeps giving, it keeps receiving. Notice the sea doesn't give and receive in the same place, but it gives unreservedly, and yet it always receives and stays full. Proverbs says, the liberal soul is made fat. The sea is generous and is always full, and we can be the same. By the way, do you know how much it would cost for us to pay to transport the water to do all this ourselves? Let me help you. Multiple billions, with a B, every year. Probably every month. Yet God does it for mankind absolutely free of charge. What if the ocean were to say to the sky, I'm waiting for the river to give me more water before I give my water to you, sky? We'd be in trouble. Everything about God is giving. We are fortunate that nature obeys God. Others are unfortunate because we don't. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. God's people receive from God and keep it. Now, salvation is like a life jacket. We have received our life jackets, and God gives us money and says the world is drowning. Give what you have so others can have life jackets also and survive. But God's people say, no, I need that money. It's for my security and retirement. So what happens? People drown. Did you know that money is like the equivalent of a life jacket to a drowning world? Money can buy life jackets. A little money can save a soul. If you put your money into literature, into missions, evangelism, it saves souls for eternity. But when we store all our money in banks, refusing to give, what is that saying to God? It says, I depend on me for security. I don't trust you to meet my needs. And besides, that's my security. And besides that, my security is more important to me than the souls that need to be saved. Now, you might not be saying that with the words, but that's with your motives. That's what you're saying. The more you give, the more you receive. If you read 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 6, it says that. When you receive, you give again, and you look for where God needs you to give again. Do things for God at your own expense. When you obey God, the impossible and the unforeseen happens. So let God train you with trusting Him. He will test you in small things, and then as you prove you can be trusted, He will increase your means and see what you will do. God doesn't care if you are a company or an individual, big or small, known or unknown. When you are willing and obedient, He will do big things without limitations. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He isn't looking for people with talent and skills. Although those things help, He is looking for people who He can trust because they trust Him and prove it with their obedience. Until you become obedient to God, He has no choice. The full extent of His goodness that He really wants you to experience can't be unleashed. You don't learn until you're out of your comfort zone. If you have been given a vision, step forward. You don't need to have to advance. You advance to have. God promised to supply all your needs in your agreement with Him. So move forward, because a need isn't a need until it's a need. In other words, until you actually move forward and an actual need needs to be supplied, God doesn't see it as a need, and therefore He isn't obligated to supply what you don't need. Think about it. Would you pay a bill for a service that you don't use? No. Why? Well, there is no need for it to be paid. No need. However, if you sign up for a service, then there is a need for it to be paid. And God promises to supply that need. You don't need to know how God will do things in order for you to obey. When God asks you to do something beyond your means, move forward. According to your faith, be it unto you. You show your faith by your works. God is not asking you to do what's possible in your own strength. God is responsible for His own work. Your responsibility is to obey. If you're in an army and the general gives you a command, you don't ask for an explanation as to how it will work out. You just do it. If God works one way and one way only, He requires obedience first, and then you may ask for clarification along the way. Then all resources will be at your disposal as God directs. If God promised He will do something in His word, that is all the assurance you need. Obey, and then the promise will be fulfilled. Becoming willing is the secret of victory in all things. So surrender your will. Perfect surrender equals perfect victory. The problem is, we don't like to surrender. Surrender and let God take care of it. Fall on your knees and admit your hopelessness without Him empowering you. Agree to obey whatever God instructs. Say, Lord, if you make me willing, I will. And He will. And you are guaranteed to meet with victory every time, regardless of the obstacles that oppose you. God is trying to show you, let go of what you have. I'm trying to give you more. The faster you give, the faster it comes back again. Let me tell you, it is so much easier to give away somebody else's stuff. You give as quickly as it comes. It's not yours anyway. God has 1,000 ways to fulfill every promise He ever made us, which we know nothing of. So when He says give, He will give it back to you again. You have a life jacket. Pass it on to save somebody else. Don't let them drown. God uses you to do the work Jesus did when He was physically on earth. He wants mouths and hands to do His will. He wants us to reflect His character to others in this world, and what the world wants to see is His love. If you want to grow, and if you want your ministry to grow in your business, start giving bountifully in love, and then watch everything start to increase. People can't resist love. This is how ministries and businesses of the kingdom grow. By love. Love gives. Creative strategies are great, but when you generously meet people's needs in love, people can't resist love. And they will flock to you from everywhere, spreading the word. This was how Christ got so well known in His ministry. He showed love. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. As he is, so are we in this world. Live like Christ did, and you don't have to ever worry about growth in anything you ever endeavor to do. The kind of giving God really rewards is sacrificial giving. Don't just give when you have extra, give sacrificially. If you want to grow spiritually, it takes exercise. Just like physical muscles, it's exactly the same. You have to exercise spiritual principles to grow spiritually. God's blessings require obedience. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to go to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Your success is dependent on your obedience, so don't complain about not having success when you're living in disobedience. If you honor God, he will honor you. He will say, look, there is a person I can trust. Give them more. Use what you have first and then ask for more. God will even take wealth from the sinners and give it to you if need be. He has promised that. Remember Ecclesiastes 2:26, but to the sinner he, God, giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. God can provide money like he provides rain. And when you can truly demonstrate the kingdom of God is your first priority by proving that with the wealth you currently have in your hands, I can guarantee God will place larger and larger quantities of wealth into your hands for the accomplishment of his work. Often we honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. Now, one of the ways that we can tell where our hearts are is by our treasure. The Bible says money answers all things. A person's money will answer everything about them you want to know. Because where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. We put our money where our hearts are. So when we honor God with our lips, but our money is far from him, our hearts are far from him. We need to be more concerned with reaching souls with our finances than gratifying our own pleasures with them all the time. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 and 19 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold unto eternal life. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our hearts. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Years ago, after work, I had a friend, let's call him Bill, and Bill gave me a ride home. On the way, Bill was sharing with me that he was experiencing some financial difficulty. That day, Bill and I both received some cash for some work that we did. Then the Lord impressed upon my heart to give Bill the cash that I'd received. So I did, and it was about £50. And I don't think it was much more than 2 weeks later, a man gave me an envelope with $200 in it. Completely at random. I mean, I'd never spoken to this man, maybe twice in my life up to that point. Whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. There is a missionary that told a story of how he was in the middle of a jungle, and there was a group of people that brought this sick lady to him and asked him to heal her. And I think she had malaria or something like that, and he, being a nurse, knew what to do. But he didn't have the resources with him. But he knew in order to save this lady's life, he would need an airplane to fly in and take her out to get her the medication she needed. But this would cost about $200, and that was all he had. He kept it as an emergency fund in case he needed to fly him or his family out in case of an emergency. And he thought, if I give my last $200, I won't have anything left. But he decided to trust God. And so he used the last $200 he had. And a while later, another missionary flew in. And she was pleasantly surprised to find this missionary man and his family there, because she thought that she'd be the only one. So she asked if she could stay with him and his family. And his family took her in and into their hospitality. And she assisted in ministering to the people in the jungle. Anyway, the day she was ready to leave, she asked the missionary if he accepted donations. And he was hesitant at first, but he said, well, if you want to, yes. So she left him an envelope. And when she flew away, he opened the envelope and it had $1,700 in it. Tell me, how does God deliver $1,700 into a jungle where nobody even knows where you are? You have no need to fear obeying God. Just trust him. Now, somebody told me once that they saw a t-shirt that said in Portuguese, I am not the owner of the world. I am only the son of the owner. It got me thinking, God's people know that, but they don't behave that way. I thought, if we really believed that, how much further and faster would the kingdom of God advance? Let me ask you this. How would you behave if you were a child of Bill Gates and he said, my child, I want you to go into all the world and tell them the good news about Jesus, and I promise I will supply all your needs. Now, knowing that your daddy is a multi-billionaire, how would you behave? When it comes to anything that would require money, how would you behave? If he said, go and buy some TV stations and preach the good news, you would say, Daddy, I need to buy TV stations to preach the good news. And he'll say, remember what I said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches. You wouldn't have a problem to approach those TV station owners and tell them, I want to buy your TV stations. How much do you want for them? Why? Because you know your daddy is loaded and he promised he will supply all your needs. If we would be that way with Bill Gates as our daddy, then how should we be considering the fact that our daddy has far more than Bill Gates? In fact, he owns what Bill Gates has, and Warren Buffett and Donald Trump and all the oil billionaires and all the Russian billionaires and all the bankers and everybody else put together. He has all theirs and then some. He owns the lot. When you seize kingdom opportunities which require money, God will move once you have moved. Draw nigh to him and he will draw nigh to you. He will supply you the money when souls are at stake. How do we know this? Well, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Anything that will ethically save souls is God's will, so move forward and possess the land. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. Every place that the sole of your feet tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There is no limit to how big God can provide. No matter the size of the need, God will meet it. If you come up with a plan that will cost $2 billion with a B, and you move forward seizing those kingdom opportunities, God will meet that need. God rises up to meet needs of plans. The only reason ministries don't have billions of dollars is only because they don't make billion-dollar plans seizing billion-dollar opportunities. God provides your needs according to what your plans are. He will provide according to your faith, be it unto you. Write the vision and make it plain. It will surely come. The just shall live by his faith. When you're willing to do big business for God, you get to talk to with the big boys. If you want to play in the major leagues, you have to think like the major leagues and act like the son or daughter of the king, who is the biggest league in a class all on his own. Think like the child of the owner of the world. If you aren't going to think big, don't expect any big surprises. We are to be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Take risks on God's behalf. Your rewards will be tremendous. You will take some on earth, but when you get to heaven and see what God has reserved for you, whoo-wee, you will be embarrassed by all the fuss that you made on earth for suffering for Christ's sake. When you take big risks, you will reap big rewards. Act in faith as though you have received what you asked for physically. Let me give you an example of this. There is a business principle which brilliantly illustrates how I've noticed God likes to operate. And this principle is just-in-time production. As you manufacture a car, for example, in just-in-time production, as the car moves along the assembly line, all the parts for that car arrive just in time as the car reaches the position where it needs its part. God tells us to keep moving forward in faith, and as soon as the project needs the funds or other resources, God somehow pulls the pieces together just in time. Sometimes the resources you think you need to go ahead won't be visible until you get right up to the point where it is needed. And I believe God's reasoning for this is that he is training us to trust him. When the resources you need for a project aren't available, keep moving forward in faith as if you are in the car factory. And you know the part you need will be there right when you need it. Often we don't have the resources ahead of time, and this is why God said that the just shall live by faith, and we walk by faith, not by sight. Keep moving forward as God directs, with no physical evidence of resources. Give the people the go-ahead, the yes, I will have it ready. Sign the contract before you see you have the resources to fill your action. People may argue against this, but I can give you plenty of examples where this has worked in both businesses and in ministries. And you can debate against it, but this is what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. And the just shall live by faith. Keep moving forward one step at a time with the trust that when the door for the car is needed, it will appear. When you have created a need and it is time for the delivery of resources to seize opportunities in your businesses or your ministry, they will appear. When you take big risks, you will reap big rewards. Major concern in current affairs at the moment is the state of the global economy. But you, as a member of God's family, are not subject to or reliant on the state of the economy in order for you to survive. Through the word, you can prosper high above everyone else in the world, regardless of what is thrown at you. As a believer in the kingdom, all the news reports of job losses and the financial markets in turmoil doesn't affect your supply. God gave you his word. He shall supply all your need, and his word doesn't stop being true in a recession. In God, there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, and he refuses to break his covenant with you or alter anything that has gone out of his mouth. His word shall not return to him void without prospering in the thing to which he sent it. Yes, you are in the world, but not of it. You are from another kingdom sent as an ambassador to this earth. And as an ambassador, the king of your kingdom supplies all your need in this foreign territory according to his riches. So all the talk of recession, famine, credit crunches, oil and gas prices, the price of living, and all the doom and gloom portrayed by the media are not relevant to you or me in this kingdom, even if you're on a fixed income, because the kingdom will kick in on your behalf to meet your needs when you have learned exactly how to activate your supernatural supply from heaven. Don't pay mind to the doom and gloom stories of the media. That is the devil trying to deceive you to doubt the word of God coming to pass regarding your supply by making you rely on the deceitfulness of riches. He wants to steal the word that has been planted in your heart about the good Lord being your shepherd. Set your affections on the things above, because we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. Look, if God said, "You shall not have to want for anything," don't let any negative report on the news or from friends, your boss, allow you to think any different from what God promises. Trust in the living God, who giveth richly all things to enjoy. No matter who says what, if it is contrary to the word, there is only one lying scoundrel behind it, and I think you know who that is. Do what Jesus did. Set your affection on what's above. Watch what you allow through your eye and ear gates, because they are the gateways to your heart, and out of your heart flow the issues of life. Out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said about the words we speak, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Psalms 37:19 says, "In times of famine we shall be satisfied." Well, why don't you start saying that? Do you know what that means? That means in times of economic difficulty in the environment around you, you shall have abundance. How is this possible? Well, as I explained, your sufficiency is of God. Your supply comes from a different kingdom, and you are representing that kingdom to the world. So God won't let you down and make himself look bad. So when he promises he shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, take no thought what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or whether withal shall we be clothed, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can believe it. In fact, the faith booster, All Things Added, Guaranteed, is dedicated solely to showing you exactly, clearly, what to do to guarantee all things will be added unto you. And God is not withholding anything from them that love him. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Not only will you have sufficiency in all things for your needs, but you will also have enough to supply the needs of others too. According to God's promises, you will have so much more than you need in times of famine, that you will be able to bless others. Because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Remember, keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I promised to share with you a principle on stewardship, and I left it until last so that you will remember to do it, since this is the last thing said. How to be the effective type of steward which God cannot resist, but to bless richly with his blessing, which maketh rich. Here's my suggestion. Predetermine a percentage of your income, which you will make it common practice to invest in God's work and or the poor. By the way, this is aside from the tithe, which belongs to God, which technically isn't even yours. He just honors you with the privilege of presenting it to him. It was actually his before you even presented it to him. So by tithing, you're not actually giving God anything because it's his. When you pay your tithe, you haven't actually given yet. You can't give to someone what belongs to them. You can only pay them what you owe. So whatever you contribute towards kingdom advancement above tithe is considered giving. So, apart from tithe, decide to invest a certain percentage of any money you receive toward the kingdom of advancement. Be it taking care of the poor, missions work, whatever, decide on a predetermined percentage which you agree with God to give him. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Then set a goal which you aim to increase that percentage to. So maybe you decide to start at 10% after tithe, and your goal is to reach the point where you invest 40% of all your income into the kingdom. And next, pray asking God to help you reach your goal, to contribute this percentage of your income to support kingdom advancement continuously. And make sure after tithing, this is the first thing you do. Ask God what he wants you to do with the money that you have set aside for his work. This is setting the kingdom as your number one priority. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Now, when you honor God with your lips, your heart is honoring him too. You are continuously, consciously putting the kingdom first. This is seeking first the kingdom of God. You are remembering that it is God who gave you the power to get wealth. This is favoring his righteous cause. It is seeking first the kingdom of God. God will have pleasure in seeing to it that you prosper and that what you give will be given to you again, multiplied, and things will be added unto you. This is all on top of the blessing which God pours out from heaven for the tithe you paid him. And in doing this, God sees that you favor his righteous cause and will cause you to prosper. And he will make all grace abound towards you. And the more bountifully you sow, the more bountifully you will reap. As you are faithful to give the percentage you decide with the income you now have, and you remain faithful as God increases you, he will know you are consistently faithful with whatever you have, and he will also make you ruler over much. He will put under your charge vast resources to manage for him. You will always have all sufficiency in all things, so you can give toward every good work. As God sees you doing this, he will even take the wealth of the sinner and give it to you, because he knows you have already determined you will allocate it towards his work. Blessed ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man sheweth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. This is Elliot Odell. I'll see you next time. Thank you.